In the studio now, I have a guest, Anthony Gormley, who apparently is a local.
Yeah, I'm from just over the road.
We just had a walk around on site to visit some of the projects. What did you think?
Well, I was very moved, really. We've just come from... what was the man's name? Steve? No.
Jimmy. Yeah.
You're Steve, he's Jimmy.
I'm Christian.
You're Christian.
Yeah.
I know, Steve's just left. Who gave you the space.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jimmy's flat. In Jimmy's flat.
Yeah.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, Clarisse Dassimol is the artist who was in between, let's say, facilitated, who made the flat as it is now.
Yeah, Clarisse Dassimol. It seems, just sort of met Jimmy, with his shopping trolley at the bottom of the flight of stairs, and helped him up, and that was the beginning of their encounter. And in the end, he just gave her his entire life archive.
Everything, yeah.
And she
objects and emotions all packed.
Yeah.
In one thing.
And I found that incredibly beautiful. In one bedroom, she simply put small photographs and typewritten accounts of their meeting and his memories. And then the flat is as he left it, so it has, I guess, 70s and 80s decor.
Yeah.
And in the living room, there's a compilation of his Super 8 or 8mm movies of him being a dad and then being a single dad because his wife fell over in the snow.
Yeah.
And pictures of their boys growing up and pictures of, I guess, the Market Estate when it was new and fresh and exciting.
Promising.
And, a kind of utopia.
Yeah.
So it's got, extraordinary feeling on the one hand of, this intimate portrait. And yet, for me, to have those memories in the space in which Jimmy actually lived, so that the frame of the representation was the real location. I found that incredible.
At some point, you told me about that project, seeing your life transformed into the image of your life. Is something incredible. What did you mean by that?
Well, I suppose what I meant was that in the history of art, it's usually people of power, privilege, and influence who get themselves photographed in front of their estate or with their horses or whatever. And here was something that was just as important, but somehow made even more powerful because of the loss. I mean, it's not just that Jimmy doesn't live there anymore, it's the fact that the entire social project is now over. So it's kind of, I think it was two things that I think the idea of this representation meant to me. One was, it was the democratization of memory, because I think certainly in the history of art, the people that get remembered in the old days were ones who had the power to
prominent figures,
make the memory happen. But then I think there's also this anthropological thing, which I think is really strong for me, the feeling that this is Clarisse, is that her name?
Yes, that's her name. That's
Clarisse, the artist, in some way making an account, but with the active participation of the native, as it were, of this
exactly.
Tribe, and doing it at a point of maximum transformation. So this social experiment, which was at the time that it was built, the idea of the new, the notion of a socially cohesive community that was high up and out of the I suppose, polluted and noisy, life of the inner city that is just down the hill.
Yeah.
And here we have, in a way, the dystopia from that utopian vision, and we're told this estate was too dangerous. You go down corridors and you see the battened up doors and the
and the
steel mesh over the windows and apparently there was rising paranoia amongst the inhabitants here about what was going to come at them down corridors that were poorly lit and had plenty of places for people to hide. And I can understand how that might, the same environment that has, as it were, sheltered and allowed people to have positive and really good. I mean, Jimmy's family history, as told by his films, was certainly not one of deprivation nor sadness. And yet, you could see, in a way, from the corridor of the, I suppose it was the floor above, just how swiftly that positive atmosphere could disintegrate. Anyway, I don't know what I feel about this. I mean, I suppose we go through phases of architect-driven utopias. I'm just hoping that the new one is going to last longer, because it seems to me from just visiting here that actually these flats they have amazing views. They are high on a hill, and they seem to be well provided for with sunlight and balconies and all the rest, and one wonders.
Yeah, the geographical location is highly interesting anyway. Coming back to the anthropological nature of some of the work here, well, you are famous for The Angel of the North, amongst others. So in 2008, when you had an exhibition in Rotterdam, Kunsthal, I was living there for 2 months because I was working for Van Lieshout. It was striking because I had missed the Hayward exhibition, which had taken just in 2007 place here, and that's when I moved. There was, for me, something also very anthropological. The thing I understood was it is occupation of space, but not in the in a physical way, but almost in almost a presence type of way. So it leaves marks behind, which is basically what also is about here. It's a traces and memories, and there is a soft convergence or relationship between the hard, the architectural side and the living side of that. Did you? How does that relate to your work, a project like this, let's say?
Yeah, I guess I'm very aware we have minds, consciousness and feelings that in a way dwell within bodies, and bodies that dwell within buildings. And the relationship between, you could say, the traces of lives with all their hopes and fears, and in a way joys and pains, I think do rub off. And you look at these environments, and in the same way that you look at a body,
right?
And you kind of see the lines of stress, as well as maybe the delightful, the smile on the face of a bathroom. don't know. It's a very spooky thing for me to think that in the time that I've lived very close, this estate has gone through real kind of crisis, right. And has fallen from being a place of perhaps positive life support to being one in which life became difficult and dangerous. But certainly from this small experience that I've had of the spaces today, there's another room which was, well, one flat has been left entirely as it was decorated in the mid-70s, and,
yeah,
and that was very beautiful with these 50s repeated pattern, geometrical pattern wallpaper, yeah, that was almost hallucinogenic because of the way that it was everywhere,
yeah,
on the staircases, and the staircases are quite kind of steep,
mm-hmm,
and it was immaculate, it was perfect, you know, and the swirly patterns on the carpet, and the whole thing was like literally going back in time. It was like looking at somebody's old photo album, except that this was a real space,
right?
And and then there was another room that had been entirely painted in bright yellow fluorescent paint, and yeah, everything had, and even the tea in the cups was bright yellow and fluorescent, and all the ornaments and the soft furnishings were bright yellow fluorescent, and this kind of abstract, the effect that it had was that this became a totally abstract, it was almost the absolute reverse, but had a similar effect to the psychedelic wallpaper in the mid-70s flat, that you felt, my God, this is a real place, but it's also this very abstract representation of a human habitation. Anyway, yeah. I'm pretty.
So just to tell the listeners what we're talking about, the yellow flat was by Jess Blandfoot and Joe Morris.
Ah, yes, I met them in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe was wearing a fluorescent yellow tie.
Yeah, that's correct. And then the going back in time flat was by Julia Sala. And
so did
Stephanie
she just
Brandt.
Decide? Did she? Sorry, Julia Sala and Stephanie
Brandt.
Brandt.
Yeah.
Did they just go in there and decide this is already a work?
Yeah. Yeah. That exactly. So you step in there and realize that you can't actually impose your artistic view other than facilitate, again, a certain almost shamanistic way of releasing the stories which are there to unfold them in the right way, in a way similar to what the Jimmy's flat with Clarice.
Yeah.
But then the connection with the other one is also that the fluor one is also the kind of this utopian thing, which is from the 60s, yellow, which is a very promising color, but where actually you can't live or you can't stay in there just because it's too bright, it's too good in a way, and then it just, which is pretty much reflected in the architecture, which is, as you say at some point, that it's very human but almost gone, it's so well made, and I mean I lived here for 10 months and I have to say, yeah, and I have to say, I didn't think I was living in London, because at some point we had pumpkins in our garden, and as you saw, some of the architecture evokes the a farm or you know, because it's called Market Estate, and it goes, then it's all referring to the history of the site having in a cattle market. So in a way, all those connect, but using a totally other language, visual languages, let's say. That's beautiful to see. We're very much pleased that you made it to this event.
Well, I think it's a really wonderful thing to, in a way, imaginatively inhabit these spaces at a time of transition like this. I mean, I can't believe that they're going to start demolishing this on Monday. And yeah, it's rather important, I think, that we look, I mean, particularly now, where we're all much more conscious about global warming, about, in a way, sustainability, at previous visions of, in a way, utopic social architecture.
Right.
And really, I mean, this isn't about, like, learning practical lessons so much as to just think a bit about what constitutes community, what it is that makes, in a way, places a positive or otherwise play. What I said to Stephen was, you know, rather than knocking it down, you know, why didn't you just sprinkle a few artists in here, so that people didn't have to hide behind steel doors? But you know, artists on the whole are open-minded and they leave their doors open, and maybe the kind of paranoia about the drugs and the drug dealers perhaps could have been countered by some other kind of energy that was really just to do with reinforcing the value of people's lives. But maybe that's a bit utopian too, and maybe artists can't be used as some kind of a healing balm in difficult social situations. But I'm just very aware of how, you know, municipal metropolitan policy makers can often think pathologically about areas of cities. And if you are thinking pathologically, then I think there, you know, the social deprivation and in a way the ability to think differently, which is what an artist does, I think they help. You know, all I know is that artists on the whole help. I think they are able to think creatively about situations that maybe are otherwise challenging, let's put it that way. Anyway, I'm absolutely delighted to have been able to come, and even if I did come, I came very early. I came at 9 o'clock this morning, and it wasn't quite open. And
apologies for that.
No. That was because I was too eager.
Right.
But I was very glad to have had the opportunity of coming by, and it was inspiring.
Yeah. On behalf of the whole Market Estate project and everybody involved in the Southern Housing Group, we thank you very much for your kind time and reflections on the whole. We're looking forward to more of this, and certainly also to your work, which is as inspiring and very much reflective. And and it's also good to know that you are a local and totally involved into this this area. And I was amazed by your historical accounts of this site, what it used to be. And I almost was tempted to ask if you actually had a look at the Market Estate project to see the archives. Yeah, you seem to be informed.
I want to see how you deal with all of this in the website, because I think how in a way a resource like this and how it's transformed through this kind of imaginative thinking.
Yeah.
I think it's a template for
surely
for the rest of us.
Would you like to have a look now?
No. I have to get up in about 3 hours.
All right.
I'm trying to do a project in the mountains.
Okay.
in Austria, and I've got to go.
Very good.
On a very early flight.
We wish you good luck.
Thank you very much.
And we'll follow very much with interest your moves. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Thank you very much, Anthony Gomley. Bye.